welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Wow. I don't know about you guys, but I could have just carried on worshiping. It was really amazing. I don't know where the worship leader is or whoever chose the songs, but you definitely heard from God. Is she here? Who? There we go. Yeah, I actually just want to honor you that you you really heard from God in terms of the sermon and the songs that we sang prepared a way for the word, which is great. I just want to just speak over you that I believe God is going to call you to release his glory. Like, you have an ability to call forth the Lord's glory, and that's going to cause many people to get delivered of many things. So I'm excited to see where you're going. So my name's Lauren, as I soon to be Cronia. I had to slip it in there. I have to admit that when Heinrich asked me about 3 weeks ago whether I would preach on the 3rd of November, I'm preaching in Johannesburg in about 2 weeks' time. So there was already sermon building up within my spirit, and I knew the scriptures, but I had no idea of the structure or how exactly God wanted to bring it across. So I said to him, Yana, that's fine. But that first week, you know, you still think it's still coming. So I didn't do much. Just prayed and spent time on those scriptures. Then the second week, I was working in Durban for the week, and I was slightly sick, so I didn't do much in that week. And then the week later, I got engaged. So I thought it was quite funny. Heinrich is quite prophetic, and I wonder if he knew that it was going to happen, that I was going to get engaged, because I got engaged on the Sunday, and then immediately on the Monday, I had to start seeking first the kingdom, you know, to focus and prepare the sermon. I was like, Lord, you're quite funny about that. But it was actually amazing. Stefan said to me, he said, okay, so Tuesday night and Wednesday night, we're not going to see each other. You can spend time preparing the sermon and Saturday. And Tuesday night, I was fighting this demon and of fear, and God was just setting me free in preparation for today. And so nothing happened on the sermon. And then on Wednesday, we happened to see each other quickly later in the evening, and he said, so how did your preparation go? And so I was like, yeah, I might have like downloaded a few ebooks on marriage and stuff. But that's my relationship with God. I know that he knows what the message is for today. And I tried. I sat down in my quiet time, prepared, and nothing came. He just said, be excited about the engagement. It'll come. 5 o'clock on Thursday morning, wide awake, the sermon download, the structure, everything. And I just went downstairs, wrote everything down, and I just realized God's faithful. And, you know, his timing is perfect, and he will release what he needs to release at the time that's right. My name's Lauren, and I come from Joburg. I'm working at a company called Deloitte, and I've been in Johannesburg for 2 years. And I can really just say God is so faithful. 6 months ago, he'd said to me, I must have an expectation for my 30th. So I'm turning 30 in January. And I had no idea that it would be the year that I was going to get married. And in a girl's heart, that is one of the greatest desires. And I can tell you that the Lord is so good, because when all my friends are getting married at 25, 26, you know, I'm going, Lord, yeah, you know what, where, how? And he's just saying to me, wait. You know, and these guys would come, you know, amazing men of God, you know, fit every picture. My mother would say to me, what is wrong with you? And I just say, the Lord is saying to me, I must wait for the Ishmael, the Isaacs, the guys come. And in that time, the Lord was just so preparing my heart, and I grew up without a father, so there was a lot of work that needed to be done in preparation, besides the fact that I am 5 years older than Stefan, so at that time he was 20, and I don't know if a relationship would have worked then. So I just want to encourage you, you know, to not allow fear, and not allow the now, you know, but God, why is everyone else and not me? He knows. And I can tell you, people would say to me, but you're so strong, Lauren. You know, you need a really strong man. And I used to say, what does that mean? You know, what are you? And I used to take quite offense to that, actually. And I can tell you that the Lord has softened me in the last 5 years. I'm still strong, and I know what I want. And, you know, and I I am a leader and all of that, but God has softened me for a man that is beyond my leader, you know, and a man that has really knows how to allow a space for me to flourish in my gifts, a space for me to, you know, just absorb all the attention. I'm the spotlight person. He's more the reserved on the side, you know. And we work so well, and I'm just so grateful to God that I didn't settle. And yeah, so I wasn't planning to say that, but I just felt God saying him say that. So, yeah, it is an honor for me to be here this morning, and I just want to acknowledge Philip. We did go on our first mission 9 years ago, and I remember I was newly saved. I was a sponge. I think I gave him gray hairs. I was asking so many questions. At that stage, I was quite, like, wanted to know what was happening next, you know, control. And he was just like, just let it be. God will do his work, you know. And, but Philip is a man of faith. You know, I remember just seeing him on that mission trip, praying for healing and people getting healed and praying for the masses to come to salvation. And there would just be scores of people that come forward and just an anointing in healing, like, yeah, it's just amazing. I hope he's still operating in that gift on another level. But he really encouraged me to up my level of faith. So I just want to honor him today. Okay, to the sermon. So, So I've titled the sermon Hide and Seek. I actually felt God giving me the title about 2 weeks ago before I even knew what it was about. And I didn't quite know how it was going to fit in. But what I was thinking about, if you think of the game... Actually, no, I just want to pray first. Okay. Sure, all the excitement, Lord. It's so exciting, Lord. It's awesome. And it's amazing to see how good you are and how your timing in our lives is so perfect. And Father, that we can say it's not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. And that we can look to you. And Father, I know today, God, you are going to stretch your hand into so many hearts, Lord, that some of them are going to feel like their hearts are being squeezed, Lord. But Lord, you are massaging us, Father, into a place, God, of surrender, Father. You are calling us into sonship, that you are saying to us, but my love covers, and my love is the foundation from which I want you to operate from and to live life with freedom and confidence. And so, Father, I submit myself today, and I submit my words, and I submit my heart, and you know, Father, that I've prepared and I have the sermon planned out, but your Spirit is welcome to come and change it and form it and, yeah, lead it, Lord. Just don't let it be too long. Father, and I just thank you for your love, God. Thank you that your love is so pure and so for us, God. You are the perfect Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So it was quite funny because I had this hide and seek in my spirit. And then about two or three of the pastors that I'd heard since then were talking about how they'd been playing hide and seek with their children. I'm like, okay, that's confirmation. But still, Lord, it doesn't help much. And then I thought, if you play hide and seek, you can. It's exactly the same game, but you can play it in two scenarios. And the first scenario is, which has happened to me, and I will be laid on my pride to confess this, but lying in bed and being overcome by fear and thinking there's a thief in your house, the enemy's coming in and you're thinking, where am I going to hide? You know, hide and seek in the terms of, I'm going to lie in the cupboard and I'm just going to hope that no one opens the door. And it's a hide and seek with fear and anxiety and not wanting that door to be open. And then there's a hide and seek where you're playing it with your father. You're a little child, and you're playing with your father that you know is going to come and find you. You know you're not going to be overlooked. You know that it's actually an exciting expectation of, am I going to be found? You know, is he going to find me? And I just, that's the basis for the sermon today. And I'll only come back to hide and seek right at the end. So park that. But just that thing of, is it the enemy that you playing hide and seek with in terms of fear, or is it God that you're playing with? And yeah, I was just thinking as well, I'm not holding with the left hand to show my ring. It's just it's a lot more natural, you know. Because you know they always say when you get engaged, it's like, and then I was like, no, I'm worshiping like this, but now you can see it's a beautiful ring, sapphire in the middle. It's like the royal ring, yes. And it's more than I could have ever have wanted. So I want to start with the scripture is... No, back one. Ephesians 4 verse 1. And this is actually a scripture that Stefan, my fiancé, sent me about 6 or 7 weeks ago. And it says, "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called." And I look at that scripture and I think, walk worthy. And immediately, I want to go, performance. I need to now walk worthy. You know, I need to show people that I'm walking worthy. And God just came and said, walking worthy is what I've bestowed upon you. Walking worthy because you are a daughter of God. Walking worthy because I've laid the foundation. And I just realized that is one of our greatest desires, is to be able to stand before God one day and go, was I worthy? Did I please you, Lord? And it can so easily bring performance upon us. You know, it can so easily think, well, what can we do? And Stefan also said in the message, he said, it says there, therefore. So that means that it's based on the previous scripture. And so I was like, okay, that's cool. But I just want to quickly mention that when we're talking about walking worthy of the calling, I don't want us to focus in our minds on what I am to do one day. I'm called to be a preacher. I'm called to be a, you know, whatever it might be, the doing thing. It's who are you called to be? You're called to be a daughter. I'm the calling in terms of living a life that is supernatural to see healings and salvation and all of that. Living the calling in terms of how do I determine what's my basis for making a decision? Calling in terms of what do I reflect to the world? What type of, you know, image am I giving out there? The calling in terms of living a life of faith. So walk worthy of that calling. And that is a massive thing. You know, it's not a lighthearted thing to be able to live and of freedom, live a life of peace and confidence to walk in that calling. And so we can go. So I went to go and look at the previous scripture, which is Ephesians 3. And you can go on to the next slide. But before I read that, I want us to think, just to remember that the book of Ephesians, the book of Ephesians unfolds the process of which God is bringing the church to its destined purpose in Christ. So it's in Ephesians that he talks about the bride. It's in Ephesians that he talks the bride. Sorry, I'm going to be a bride. It's amazing. So it's only gonna happen once in my life. So will you give me a bit of grace? Is that okay? Like just to celebrate the moment. Anyway, so it's in Ephesians that he says we are predestined. He has predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that he should walk in them. So I see Ephesians as a book of saying, this is what I have given you. Like, God has come to lay the foundation. God has come to give us every spiritual blessing. He's already predestined us in terms of our workmanship in order for us to live out and fulfill that calling of being predestined as the bride. So let's read there. In him, okay, so what I want us, we're now looking at this as the foundation of the ability to walk worthy of the calling. Okay. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derive its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So can you see how He says we have a confidence to approach God, that it is He strengthens us with power through His Spirit in our inner being. He comes and lays a foundation of being rooted and established in love. And He gives us a love that surpasses the knowledge. So ultimately, I'm starting with the good news. You know, the sermon normally says how bad we are and then the fact that Jesus came. I'm saying we can walk worthy of a calling. We can live a life of peace and freedom and confidence because through Christ, who has been established in love in our hearts, He's laid a foundation. And yeah, it's the fact that we can add a certain ability, but that's not, you know, we can bring something to the party, but He does immeasurably more. And so what I want to focus on is the whole thing of being rooted and established in love. So when I thought of that, I thought being rooted and established in love, it's almost like a foundation of a house, like the establishment, you know, the concrete of a house, which is like our identity. And then I thought of a song, which I'm going to sing to you guys. It's quite funny. It's one of those children's songs. What was that blue book? Did any? Is it just English? It gets salty. Yes. Sing along, please. It goes like this. Don't build your house on a sandy land. Anyone know it? Sing it with me, please. Don't build it too near the shore. Well, it might look kind of nice, but you'll have to build it twice. You'll have to build your house once more. You've got to build your house upon a rock. Make a good foundation on a solid spot. Because the storms may come and go, but the peace of God you will know. Is that okay? So it's a thing of, what are you building your house upon? The sandy land, or is it upon the rock? Because if it's on the rock, then the storms can come and go, but the peace of God, you're going to know. So my question today is, what is your foundation? And the foundation that we're looking at is love. It's an agape, Father's love, that we can walk worthy of the calling. But then the other side of it is fear. So you can have a foundation of fear, which is sandy. It's not stable. Or you can have a foundation of a rock. So before we look at the two foundations, I want you to turn to someone next to you and say, is your foundation fear? Is your foundation love? And this is something that I can tell you I've been through in the last 2 months. I've known God for 10 years. I grew up in a house, which I'm going to get to later, but very, very unstable, and fear was a driving factor. And the Lord really came to set me free of it many years ago, but I realized that it doesn't matter how long you've known God, it can creep in somewhere, you know, and you need to constantly be repenting. You know, we can never be assured of the confidence, you know, so quickly we turn to look to ourselves, you know, so quickly we allow things to come in and, you know, and God is just saying, but I want to root out, like I want to take out all fear. So I'm going to share a few stories as we go through it, that are quite personal to me. But so I want you to look at what we're going to go through. And if anything stands out for you, then just be open for God to come and work in your heart. Okay, so the first one is fear. First one? Okay. So fear looks to the voice of man. Okay? So often what happens, and in my life, my mom was a very strong character, you know, person, in terms of my dad left when I was 6 months old. So she was everything to me. And I realized the Lord was calling me to make a big decision in the last 2 months. And I was finding my confidence is, does my mom approve? I knew the voice of God, but will my mom, is she feeling honored? Does she give me her blessing? Because what if she doesn't give her blessing And in the back, she's my back door, you know, financially, emotionally. And the fear says, but I'm looking to the voice of man for approval. I'm looking to the voice of man for a little bit of encouragement. You know, that thing of, am I going to be obedient based on what the people around me are saying? Love looks to the voice of God. Okay. Anyway, so love looks to the voice of God. And I put there the scripture Isaiah 55 verse 11, which says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I have sent it. And that love is that confidence of knowing my Father, knowing his heart and knowing his character, and saying, but because God has called me to do this and make this big decision, he will turn my mom's heart. You know, at some point he, and even if he doesn't, because everything within me with this decision was, I want to honor my mom. But sometimes the voice of man is actually there to stir up fear. And I hate to say it, but sometimes the devil uses the people closest to you because he wants us to find confidence in the voice of God. He wants us to go, but Lord, I don't have a rainbow or a sign or anything, but I have a knowing in my spirit because you have spoken. I know that this is what you've called me to do. And, you know, example is friends of ours that were struggling to fall pregnant. The doctor saying, you know, there's 1% chance. It wasn't only problems on the one side, but both the husband and the wife. And God had given them a promise. And we stood together and we fasted. And they got, on the day that they got the doctor's report to say, you are not able to have children, not even like other options, you need to adopt. They found out they were pregnant. They've had their baby 2 months ago. So it's that thing of, do we look to the voice of God? What does man say? Or do we look at the voice of God? Okay. Secondly, fear looks to joy based on the natural. And there I want to say is, you know, so often it's this thing of God's character is, I will be joyful when I see the fruit. Not in the moment, not in the now where, you know, where it's that thing of, okay, God, I'm excited about this word. I'm excited about the calling and you know, and even praying for healing for someone where you don't see the natural. It's a longer process, but you're joyful now because you know who the character of God is and you know that that person will be healed. So as I said, the second one, the love is joy based on God's character, and that's through an intimate relationship with him. It's through us knowing him and spending time with him to say, but God, you are good, and I can be joyful in you because I know what I've been saved from. I know the goodness from, you know, of your heart, from where you've come. And the scripture there is Habakkuk 3. And this is something that, you know, what happened recently was I've really felt God calling me to change careers, but in the natural, I hadn't seen, you know, I didn't know how the finances were going to work. I didn't know, you know, even with our relationship, we weren't engaged yet. And Stefan was, you know, there was just a lot of things that in the natural, I didn't know, you know, I didn't know how it was going to work. And I didn't have my mom's blessing and all this sort of thing. And I said, this scripture God gave to me, and he said, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on high places. You know, though you don't see the fruit on the trees, you know, though you look at this, you know, the sheep pen, and you're just like, there's nothing inside. You're going, I'm rejoicing in God. I'm rejoicing in him, and my joy is not based on the circumstances. And it's just that intimate place of looking to him and looking to just seeing him in a sense, you know, not a fake joy, but saying, God, honestly, I'm not joyful. Lord, I'm not in the natural. I'm not seeing the fruit. But I'm choosing, you know, I'm choosing to say, yes, I'm choosing to lift up your name. I'm choosing to praise you because I know where I was and I know where I've come from. And that is that joy of our salvation. We think it only happened when we got saved 10 years ago. the joy of the salvation should be something that is constantly in our hearts and constantly something that we're focusing on. Okay. The next one is fear looks to your own ability. Okay, now I want to tell. Now I'm going to tell you a little bit of a story. So, what happened was how we got engaged. You'll like the story. So we flew to Cape Town for the weekend, and Stefan said, "No, we're going on a bit of a road trip." So we packed in the bags and off we went. And and then we got to their holiday house at Stillby, and had an amazing romantic dinner. All my favorite flowers, you know, on the table. He'd organized with the chef for a three-course meal, all my favorite food. So I was thinking, But I must admit that it was our one-year anniversary on the Sunday. So he did it well. You know, he could hide everything behind 1 year. I thought he would have celebrated the 1 year. But I went to bed, and it was just amazing because I was so content and so at peace that the Lord's timing would be perfect that I just thought, Lord, you know, if it doesn't happen this weekend, I know it's going to happen. I'm pretty sure this is a man you've called to be my husband. So I'm resting in that. Next morning, 5 o'clock, he comes into the room, coffee and rusks and this massive protea. Happy 1 year. I'm like, it's dark outside. You know, it's 5 o'clock in the morning. and then I looked at him and I thought, are you wearing a polo neck? I've never seen you wear a polo neck. And then I realized it was a second skin. And he gave me my second skin, and he said, I want you to come rowing with me. So I'm thinking, in the sea or in the river? Because the sea, it's quite, you know, big waves and stuff at 5 o'clock in the morning. And it was pretty dark outside. And anyway, we go down, and I am a sporty person. I love that. Like, I love adventure. I think it would be very cliche and very, for us, you know, I think it's an awesome thing. If anyone's got engaged around a romantic dinner, that's great. But for us, I needed a story. You know, I needed a symbolic thing. So he knows me very well. And we got into the kayak and we start rowing. But I'm seeing these waves and I'm just thinking, I'm in the front, okay. I'd been a little bit sick, but I was a lot better. So I wasn't as strong in terms of rowing. And I was constantly thinking of the guy that'd been attacked by a shark a month beforehand. So, at that stage, I'm completely looking to myself. I'm almost lost in the fact that these waves are too big and I don't have enough strength and the shark. And did you know this, Stefan? Yeah, okay. Anyway, so we get into the kayak, we're rowing, and I'm just rowing, but I'm almost getting paralyzed by the fact that we're not going to get past these waves. And we get to the last wave, and this wave crashes on us, and the kayak turns over, and we go out. The kayak's on the beach, and we're still trying to swim to the beach. You know, I don't think it was what Stefan had planned, but it was something that will be for the rest of my life, the story. And I was so tense. And when you're tense and you fearful, it's difficult to swim. And I'm a strong swimmer. I used to be like Western Province swimmer. And I had a life jacket on, but it was so difficult for me to get onto the shore. And I'm just like, I'm not a fearful person, Lauren. What is, you know, why are you looking to yourself? And just in my heart, I was just like, Lord, forgive me. You know, I know you're in this. I know you're for us. And, you know, and I knew Stefan was sort of going, does he now ask me to go back in? And I just, together, we're like, yes, let's go. And you know how easy it was? I didn't think about the shark. We got over the waves so quickly, you know. But it's that thing of, and that's what love, the love is, you know, is that thing of, Stefan had been going to Stillby his whole life. He knows the waves. He knows whether there's sharks around. He knows God. He wouldn't put me in a situation where I'm in danger. And if from the beginning I trusted him, I trusted in his ability to lead me, you know, praise God that happened so quickly. And then we got engaged on the kayak out in the sea. I'm not going to tell that whole story. It was amazing. Now I'm going to quickly tell you. So he's got his camera bag, like this big camera bag for Nikon camera. And he's like, no. Maybe it's nice to take photos. I'm thinking, what all's in that camera bag? Anyway, and we get out on the other side, and it's actually amazing. I was still looking to the waves because they were quite big, but we were beyond the point where they were crashing. And as soon as I just focused on him, it was like everything around me just disappeared. And I wasn't focusing on the waves and all that sort of thing. But he trusted God for a beautiful morning. When we went out, it was overcast and quite chilly. And it was overcast most of the time until I turned around in the kayak facing him, and he pulled out this letter and read me this poem. He had it in a little Ziploc bag, so it didn't get wet. And it was amazing. These words were words just of, you know, just the future. I thought, and I'm crying just at the words. I'm going, sure, this letter has to be leading to somewhere. And then he said, we always played the scenario analysis, which is quite good, you know. If we should get, he didn't want to do it. And then our pastor said, no, you can do it with Lauren. She's safe. She's not going to plan the wedding already. But the scenario of if we should get married, how would you handle this or whatever? And then he said one last scenario. Then he pulled out the ring. And at that time, it was like one of those moments out of a movie. The clouds broke open. The sun came down. He said my face was glowing. But what the story and the thing that I thought about there was just Peter on the boat. If Peter had to look at his own ability, he would never have got out the boat. If he'd looked at his own credentials, what, walking on water? You know, give me some skis, you know, or let's go behind a boat and I can barefoot and then count as walking on water, you know. But he went because Jesus said, come. He went because it was based on the call of God. It was God's ability to keep him above the water. And what was the, when did he sink? When he looked to the waves. And he looked and he thought, my own ability. So, you know, there's times where there's a call from God. And there's just that love from him. You know, it's just, yeah, it's just that foundation of love. So I must move a lot quicker. So the fourth one there is just control and defense. So fear tries to control the situation. Fear, if your foundation is fear and something, you're in a threatening situation, and especially in relationships, you choose to defend. You choose to harden your heart because it's safer. I will reject someone else before they reject me. It's a defensive thing of looking to explain to other people what, you know, even though the logic of God's call, it doesn't seem logical, you now want to defend to people why. And God's like, trust and surrender is the love aspect, that place of surrendering to God. And then the last one is just the fear focuses on the destination and the now versus love, which focuses on embracing intimacy through the journey and trusting in God's timing. And that's a big one because it's, you know, especially with us, we God leads us into a season, maybe a challenging season. And we say, but God, if I know what the outcome is, I'll be willing to go through the process. You know, if I know that you've only called me to be at this company in order to learn how to submit to difficult authority, then I'll do it for 2 years. But God doesn't work like that. He wants us to trust him that in this season, I will teach you what I need you to teach you. And to not to quicken the process to go, but now, you know, like, can we not quicken the season? And he's like, my timing is perfect. I will release what I need to release. I will open the storehouses. I will give you the provision. I will provide what I need to provide when I will provide it. Because until I see the fruits that I want to see in your heart, it's no point in quickening. It's actually better to sit back and go, Lord, what do you want to teach me through this? Because then you can quicken the process versus trying to fight this thing of what's the destination? What's the outcome? So in summary, fear is based on self, looking to self, pleasing self, satisfying self, and love is the spirit. So love focuses on the spirit of God. Love focuses on what is God's call? What is he showing me? What is the spirit leading us to? Are we all there? Do we have a good idea of the foundations? So what is the time now? It's 5 to 10. How much time do I have? Is it okay? I'm going to go on for about another 10, 15 minutes. Okay. Awesome. I'm so excited. But now the question is, so now we've seen God doing immeasurably more. The fact that we can walk worthy of the calling, we can walk in confidence and freedom and peace based on a foundation of love. But, the, you know, we so often, but you might say, Lauren, I can see some of those fruits of fear, but how do I move from fear to love? And I believe it's through the spirit of adoption, okay, of understanding the Father heart of God and knowing what is your identity in him and understanding his love and therefore being able to move forward. So I want to read us from Romans 8. It's 5 to 11, not 5 to 10. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is dead, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity towards God. Okay, let's go to the next scripture quickly. Okay, that is, but you are not in the flesh. Okay. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. So we can see there that it's, the next slide says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Okay, so the fact of the matter is it's through the Spirit of God that we move from fear into sonship, that we move from that foundation of fear to love. And the fact of the matter, if we look at Ananias, when Ananias and Sapphira lied, they said that you're not lying to man, you're lying to the Holy Spirit, and therefore you're lying to God. The Holy Spirit is God. And I just realized, you know, for Jesus as our example, what was the role of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' life? I basically, it'll come up just now, but the role of the Holy Spirit, Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, okay? He was anointed by the Holy Spirit for ministry. He was led into the wilderness to overcome one of his greatest victories and temptation through the Spirit. He was crucified through the Holy Spirit. He was raised from the dead through the Holy Spirit. Jesus gave the commandments to the apostles and the church through the Holy Spirit. And the name of the Spirit is, he is the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of life. But one of his names is the Spirit of adoption. And that's that for me, I realized God just showing me that the place of moving from fear as your foundation, which is slavery and performance, you know, if we looked at those foundations into love, is the Spirit of adoption. And I just want to share in my life, I grew up, my dad basically left when I was 6 months old, and my mom raised us alone, and I saw him again when I was about three, and I grew up with a constant fear of abandonment, just this constant shame of not having a father. And one of my greatest things that I dealt with at one of our first courses was just rejection. You know, it was that constant, that thing of being confident on the outside, but inwardly so confused. And that thing of being tossed by the ocean, you know, my thoughts were never focused. They were never on, you know, on one thing. It was, what does this one say? What does that one say? What is this one's input going to be? And I remember that I got saved 10 years ago in London. And I used to have times where, because I only saw my dad once a year, and he'd often phone me when he'd had too much to drink, because that was the only time he had confidence to say, you know, Lauren, I love you. And so it was this deep wounded thing within my heart. And, you know, and the Lord just came and started doing a work within me. And what would often happen was I'd be dressed up and ready to go to a church function on a Friday night or on a Saturday or whatever, and then the Holy Spirit would call me and say, I want you to go back to your house. And I'm like, get behind me. That can't be God. I'm going to this party, you know, and I'm an extrovert, so it was quite difficult for me, you know, but it happens so often that I would have to turn my car around. It took me about 5 minutes to realize it really is God, and turn around and go back into my inner room. And it was times where the Holy Spirit would come, and I would be lying on the floor in a fetal position, crying from constantly being faced with fear, you know, fear of never finding a husband that would want a woman that's rejected like I am, fear of not, you know, my whole life, my mom sacrificed her calling, you know, as a nurse to do a job where she'd get enough money to pay for us to go to school. You know, this guilt of I've got to perform, I've got to give back to her, you know, I've got to let her know that I honor her. And the Lord just came and he delivered me of that orphan spirit, that thing that constantly looks to self. And he came and he established within me a confidence. And, you know, and that wasn't a quick process. That was over years. And I can tell you, only in 2010 did the Lord say the work is done. Like, in terms of, it was 7 years that he worked in my heart to get me to a place of boldly standing, you know. And it was through the spirit of adoption that I can stand with freedom within me, you know, entering into a covenant that most of my bloodline, most of my family have gone through divorce, and I can know that I'm going to be the best for him, and I don't feel, you know, unworthy at all. I, you know, I know I'm worth it. You know, he's found a good thing, you know. He's going to find a lot of favor with the Lord and people. Also because I love praying for him. So, but, yeah, and I just remember this, sitting in Israel, and I was in Israel in 2010, and there was, this is the last story I'm going to finish off with, but we were sitting on the Mount of Beatitudes. Israel is an amazing place. I always used to think, you know, there's like Israelitis, people that everything's about Israel, you know, and I was like, I'm not going to go to Israel. But I went, and the Bible became 3D, so you really should go. But I'm sitting there, and and everyone had been saying, you know, you go to Israel and you hear the voice of the Lord so clearly and the presence of God, and the first 2 days, nothing. I'm like, everyone's going, wow, awesome. And I'm just going, okay, Lord. You know, and I'm like, you've done a work in me. I'm not going to try and strive. But I was striving and I was performing. And I just went into the garden and I just said, God, I'm just surrendering. I'm letting go. And the next day we went and we were sitting on this Mount of Beatitudes, and the guy that was doing the teaching was talking about slavery and performance and seeing what we can add to the table versus sonship of going, I've entered into a calling. You know, Lauren, I have called you before you were even born. You know, I know what the plans are that I have for you. I've walked ahead. You know, you don't need to try and like your family that you've raised. You just come naked and bare before me, and I cover you. And he was saying things like this, and I was just like, whoa. And in that moment, there was this little boy running ahead, you know, at the bottom, and sort of he dismissed all of us, and everyone was looking at the church and stuff, and I was sitting alone overlooking the Sea of Galilee. And this boy was running, and he was just running behind his father, and he was going, Abba, Abba. And I was like, Lord, wow. You know, I think it's so clear to me when I tell the story. And it was amazing because there was no wind. There was nothing. It was a quiet day, and all of a sudden this wind just started building up from the right, and it literally passed right in front of me. And it was just this spirit of adoption that had come and transformed my heart. And from that day, I could really walk in confidence and know that I don't need to have this foundation of fear. And you know, like I said, in the last 2 months, it's not like it changed quickly, but it's something that I look to now. I can see beyond. You know, when God calls me to something, when I see a challenge, he says, just lift your eyes. You know, lift your eyes to look at me as the Father that is gazing. And I can tell you, I came from a journey of rejection and absolute shame and no covering and constantly having to make my own decisions and be in control to become this soft, vulnerable woman that can trust a God and know that he is so good for me. And I think that is the position that we can operate in terms of the fullness of life. And I want to end off with this, the last one. So I started off with hide and seek. And I almost want to say that this is the motto today. It's just hiding under God's banner of love while seeking first his kingdom with peace and confidence, allowing us to walk worthy of the calling with which we have been called. So yeah, so I want us to just stand, and maybe if the worship band wants to come up. Father, before the sermon, Lord, and even during the worship and when we were in intercession, you'd showed us, Lord, that there are people here that are confused. They feel like that wave tossed in the ocean, that's standing on the shore, and they're constantly being like knocked over by waves. And that they are the people that look to man for the confidence and the voice of God, the voice. And yeah, Lord, and you've also come to show me, Lord, that there's some of us that, you know, that can identify, Father, with that thing of, you know, of just being an orphan and being constantly making plans for what if this had to happen and what if that had to happen, and I need to be in control just in case. But Lord, you say in that scripture that we've moved from that, the spirit of slavery, which brings us to fear, into a spirit of adoption. And adoption is when someone has been outcast by their family, when they have been rejected and they, you know, they can't make the decision. As the orphan, you can't make the decision. It's the father that has chosen you. It's the one that comes and it says, I adopt you. I take you in as my own. And that is through the blood of Jesus. That is through God showing us the ultimate sacrifice of his love to say, come from fear, come from being in control, being defensive, looking to your own ability, and come into a place of boldness and confidence in my presence and peace. Because it is only from that place, when the foundation is love and your identity is rooted on love, that you will be able to fulfill the calling, that you will be able to walk worthy of seeing the supernatural, of providing for your family, for seeing the healing in others, for to take that bold step of whatever it is that you require. And I felt specifically today that, yeah, that there's some of you that first need to even make that relationship. You need to enter into that relationship. You don't even know who this father is and who that love of Jesus is that died on the cross for me. And if you want to enter into that relationship of knowing there's someone that has provided for you already, then I want to give you the first opportunity today. And if there is anyone like that, then I want you to be bold and say, I always look to myself. I always looked to my own ability and everything that I can add to the table. But I want to enter into a relationship with that Jesus that has gone ahead of me, that is able, that his voice speaks louder than my voice. I want to lay down my crown. I want to lay down my pride. And if there is someone like that, I want you to raise your hand. Thank you for that hand. together with that invitation, I want to say that you are not called for a mediocre life. And fear paralyzes you. And fear has so often paralyzed me, and it has allowed me to hurt the people around me because of controlling. But there is a way, and there's a way where you can come forward and you can say, Lord, not my way, but your way. And so I want two groups to come forward. If you are not confident that you are a son or a daughter in God, and you know that your Father is good, if you're still doubting his character, then maybe you need to come forward, because he is good. And everything he has for us is good. So if that is you, and you want to ask to pray for you to enter into that spirit, enter into sonship or being a daughter through the spirit of adoption, then I want you to come forward. Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Maybe you know that you are a son or a daughter, and you're assured of that, but you can still see fruits of fear. You need to take a bold step today to say yes to God, whatever it is that he's calling you to. And it's going to mean that you need to make yourself vulnerable and ask, allow him to come and heal you. And I want you to come and stand on my left, on the right. But the Lord is wanting to deliver people today, and he's wanting to bring peace. When there's confusion and constant looking to other people, he wants to be the voice. Thank you. To sing one of the songs now, again from the worship, and during the song, I want you to open up your hearts, because God is going to come and touch on, I feel he's going to do a deep work, and he's going to go back to the root of where that fear came from. So be open for that, okay? And I think if we can have facilitators, just put our faith together to see deliverance from fear. And just to see a strong foundation of love coming through. But ultimately, this is a work that you need to do. Individually, you need to actually confess with your mouth that your foundation is fear. And you need to, in faith, proclaim God as the one. Just to lay down your crown, lay down control, lay down your assurance of yourself. So continue doing that as we sing the song, but we will come around and pray for you as well, okay?
You move mountains when you speak. You give power to the weak. You raise dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming his glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.